Elihu said about God was in Job 36 and verse 5. God is mighty, or we can say almighty, but he does not despise anybody. We despise people who don't do things the way we think they should do it. We have a certain standard. And in arrogance, we think that standard is perfect. And that person may be doing something which is not sin, but it's not up to our standard of civilization or culture. And we despise him. We may not say it, but we despise him. And you know, cultures view things differently. For example, you can look at an uncultured man who sits at your dining table and picks his nose. Yeah, what's he doing? But he looks at this very cultured Westerner who takes a hanky and blows his nose at the table with making such a loud noise, everybody hears it. And the uncultured man says, what type of culture is that, blowing your nose so loudly in the presence of everybody? I'm just sitting quietly here picking my nose, not disturbing anybody. Nobody's disturbed. You're not disturbed if somebody sits there and picks his nose. But the whole room is disturbed when you blow your nose so loud. But Western culture teaches that is okay to blow your nose loudly and announce to the whole room, I'm blowing my nose, I got a cold, fellas. But this fellow announces nothing. He just quietly sits there and picks his nose. Which do you think is more disturbing to other people? This is the stupidity of thinking that your culture is better than other cultures. I'm just giving you one example. Do you want me to spend the whole meeting giving you examples? No. I don't have time for that. But I've seen plenty in the world where people despise others. They don't say it. They're too cultured to say it. But they don't see how they themselves are crude to the other person. You think that other person is crude, and very often you'll discover, like the example I gave you, that he's not disturbing anybody. You are. But you think that's culture. Because your civilization, your culture taught you that. Like I told you earlier about eating with your hands or eating with a fork and a spoon. If you find there's something you despise in another, it's because you think you're superior. God is way above you. He doesn't despise anybody. A second principle. God treats you as you treat other people. God doesn't despise anybody. When you despise somebody, God's going to despise you. Because you're despising somebody, God will treat you like the way you treat other people. You can't blame him. Because you see, he doesn't do the way I think he should do it. God says, you are not doing the way I think you should do it either. We can look at it like two extremes. God is here on one side despising nobody. The devil is on the other side despising everybody. All of us are somewhere in between. I'm sure you don't despise everybody. There's one person you definitely don't despise, right? Who's that? Yourself. And then there are a few others whom you like very much, whom you don't despise. So you're not at the level of the devil. You're a little more this side. I'm trying to encourage you to move more and more and more and more towards God, who despises nobody. I hope you'll get a little closer to there next year. I hope you'll get a little closer to that tomorrow. I have sought with all my heart to despise nobody for their lack of culture, lack of education, lack of spirituality, lack of understanding the Word of God. I know times when I've tried to, in the early days when I used to work with people more individually, I tried to get somebody to understand the truth of the New Covenant and this, and getting a bit fed up. How long am I going to teach this guy to know the truth? And the Lord whispers in my ear, how long it did take you? And I'm immediately humbled. Lord, I'm sorry. It took me more than 16 years after I was born again to come to the truth of the New Covenant. I can be patient. Sure. I will not despise anyone, even if they are slow in grasping something. You know, that's what I always say is the difference between a father and a teacher. I told you that the one reason Jesus sat when he spoke was because he was not a teacher, he was a father. The Old Testament prophets stood because they were proclaiming. Jesus sat because he said, this is a family. No father stands at the dining table. Teachers stand in the school. I'm not saying the physical position is important. And even if you stand in the pulpit, I often stand in the pulpit. But I say, when I stand in the pulpit, I want to have the spirit of a father, not the spirit of a teacher. Be careful, because we naturally tend towards becoming teachers, not fathers. And teachers will shame others. This is the example I've often used. Here's a student, for example, who doing poorly in mathematics. And there's something the teacher has been explaining. Everybody in the class has understood except one 10-year-old boy. Maybe this is third, fourth standard. And he says, teacher, I don't understand yet. And the teacher gets fed up. How long am I going to sit here trying to teach you? Everybody, you're keeping the class backward. Get out of this class. Go and join some other school. I don't want you to come here again. That's a teacher. Because he's interested in the advancement of the class. He gets a salary. And he wants to get good results. He doesn't want anybody to fail and get him a bad name. That poor boy goes crying home. And his father says, son, what happened? He says, daddy, I can't understand this. I'm not being stubborn. I just can't understand. I'm not so intelligent what to do. And daddy says, what is it, son? And he explains the problem. Daddy says, I'll teach you. And he sits with him for 1 hour. Personal tuition. And the child says, daddy, I still can't understand. I'm sorry. Sorry to waste your time. And the father said, no worries, son. Tomorrow is another day. We'll start again tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, the child sits with him 1 hour. Daddy, please be patient with me. I still can't understand. Son, I will not give up. If it takes me a whole year, you're going to learn this. And he sits with him in a few days. One day, the boy's eyes brighten. I got it. And the dad is thrilled and the boy is thrilled. This is a father. You see the difference between a father and a teacher? We don't want teachers in our churches. We want fathers and mothers. We want you to be like that to your own children. Not fed up with them because they did something wrong for the 1,000th time. Tell them, even if you do it wrong 10,000 times, my dear girl, my dear son, I love you. I'm your father, I'm your mother. I'm determined that you will learn to do it right. God's appointed me as your parent to make you perfect before you leave my house and set up your own home. Do you have that attitude, or do you just criticize and say, I don't know, fed up, I'm fed up with my son. How long I've been trying, how long, fed up with my daughter. She doesn't listen to me. I remember one mother and once came to me. She used to be with us. The family has left CFC now. It was not in Bangalore, another place. Came to me and said, Brother Zach, please pray for this son of mine. He doesn't study properly. He doesn't get good marks. I said, sister, I'll pray for you. Because I think the problem is not with him. Imagine humiliating a son like that in the presence of someone whom he respects and whom his opinion he values. I prayed for the mother. I never prayed for that son. I believe the problem very often is with parents. Sure. We discourage our children so much because if they lack intelligence, brother, sister, it's because you lacked intelligence. They got your genes. Don't blame them. It's like one son who said, do you know Pandit Nehru was the first Prime Minister of India? Son, when he was your age, he came first in the class. The son said, Dad, when he was your age, he was Prime Minister of India. That was a smart son. So this business of comparing your children with other great people or other children, it's all foolish. Don't despise anybody. Don't despise your children. Don't despise people in the church. Love them. Let them know that you love them.